You're listening to Lake Effect on 89.7 WUWM. I'm Joy Powers. We have just over 2 weeks to go before the presidential election, and it's clear that the country's politics are starkly divided. But there's a Wisconsin native trying to change that. Stephen Olakara is the founder and CEO of the Millennial Action Project. It's a national organization that launched in 2013. The project hopes to recruit young leaders with an interest in bridging political divides. Olakara is part of the documentary The Reunited States, which is being featured at the Milwaukee Film Festival. It follows four Americans trying to reach across the aisle and build relationships between people who are not ideologically aligned. Olakara spoke to WUWM's Susan Bentz about why he started the Millennial Action Project.
I was in Madison during the uprisings in 2011. I was also working on some higher education reform efforts, and as I would interact with state legislators, I quickly realized I was one of the few people talking to both Democrats and Republicans. In my experience growing up, it made sense to be building coalitions in order to create change. And yet, that was such a foreign concept in the state legislature. So the result of that was a lot of good ideas were dying simply because of partisanship based on who proposed it and whether or not it was a Democrat or a Republican. And every idea was pigeonholed into a left or right Democrat or Republican idea. And I would suggest our solutions were more post-partisan in nature. And so I started talking with some of my friends in Madison, and I would see how their views were more nuanced than just what the party orthodoxy is supposed to be, but they didn't have a space to really express that. And I said, well, that's wrong. And that, of course, was a microcosm of what we were seeing nationally, where our political culture has become so toxic. And so that led to the original idea of Millennial Action Project. But then, of course, there's a big gap between an idea being on paper versus being a living, breathing organization. And so I had a few co-founders at the time who were also interested in public service and were just as concerned as I was about the polarization. But we were all looking at each other like, who's crazy enough to jump into this full time? And I had two profound experiences that led to my decision to that question. One was, I was standing in front of the Dr. King Memorial, and I was looking at the quotes on the wall, seeing Dr. King's conviction for a society that was connected, that was linked together, in his words, a web of mutuality, and also inspired by the years underneath those quotes. That indicated to me just how young he was. I mean, Dr. King was only 26 years old when he led the Montgomery bus boycott. Every quote on that wall was delivered by a man in his 20s and 30s. So that was one experience, because in some ways it would have been easier to wait 10 years and build up a network of philanthropists and have more elected leaders in my network in order to really launch this in a more convenient way. But I think Dr. King's experience tells us that we can't wait. He talked about the fierce urgency of now. And the second experience I had was reading my favorite novel, and it's The Alchemist. And one of the takeaways in The Alchemist is, when you walk in your purpose, the universe starts to conspire for your success. But to pursue that purpose, you usually have to take a leap of faith. And so it was clear in my heart what the right thing to do in that moment was. And I took the leap of faith and ultimately got MAP off the ground. And there have been many moments along the way that have been so improbable that in some ways it could only be explained by the universe conspiring. The experience that really sharpened our methodology was a two-year-long dialogue series that we held here in Wisconsin. It was called the Red and Blue Dialogues, and it was an experiment to see whether we could come to the state that some studies have shown is the most polarized in the entire country, the state that was seen as the tipping point state for the presidential election in 2016, where a state where the majority or the Speaker of the House in the state legislature said he has a non-existent relationship with a Democratic governor, whether in this state we could start to build those bridges of empathy, compassion, and understanding across the aisle. And we did that with community members and elected officials in communities across Wisconsin. And we learned through that process how important it was to start with an open mind. We always asked people as part of these dialogues not to make broad generalizations or to feel like they have to represent a whole group. Just speak from your own, you know, personal experience. And when you break down those barriers, you see what one woman said to me after one dialogue where she said, "Hey, Stephen, we're just agreeing too much," and didn't realize that as a liberal, she was sitting next to the local head of the Republican Party. And so when she was able to see the person sitting next to her as a human being with real life experiences, with positive intentions, there was so much more common ground to find. And that translated to the elected officials as well. And I'll never forget, actually, there after one of our dialogues we had out in Brookfield, it was focused on environmental issues. And there was a Democrat who came up to me afterwards and pointed at the Republican elected official who was there and said, "You know, I'm really starting to like that guy." But most importantly, it was just seeing the power of trust and the power of relationship building and the power of creating the right context for people. And ultimately, it all added up to the power of listening.
The methodology you're talking about, did you borrow that or create it?
I think we created it. I would say there are three parts to our methodology. One is building relationships. Part of building relationships is listening. The second is reframing issues and helping our legislators with policy ideas. And then the final thing is helping to amplify success stories and weave each of these victories into a larger narrative about building the case for bridge building. And that's sort of the call and response where our democracy works best when we're kind of having these live conversations. And that's why narrative is so important. So I would say our Future Summit is an annual event that we put on, and that's one event that brings all three of those things together: the relationships, the policy, and then the narrative building.
So now you find yourself in Wisconsin full-time. Over the course of MAP's history, you've been back and forth,
yeah,
but now you are here. So do you think of the pandemic as offering you this unique opportunity to try to break down these political barriers that we've talked about, since Wisconsin is such, I'll put it unceremoniously, a mess? Or was this your design before the pandemic hit?
Yeah, absolutely. I would say it was my design before the pandemic hit. My reason to be so focused on Wisconsin right now is not only because it's my home state, this is where I grew up, where I, you know, went to school, went to college, where my family is, but also because I see Wisconsin as the central arena for the future of our democracy. We've heard the phrase over and over again, Wisconsin is the tipping point state for this election. I think that's right, but we're also the tipping point state for the future of our political culture. And right now, Wisconsin has become the poster child for divisive, toxic politics in many ways. Just look at the number of national pieces, national articles have been written about that. But I see Wisconsin in a different light because by far the most unique thing that anyone realizes when they come to visit the state is how nice the people are and how they feel this warm sense of hospitality among Wisconsinites. I think that culture is really at our core, and I would like to see Wisconsin become a leader for political bridge building. And that's essential in our state because we're roughly evenly split between Democrats, Republicans, and Independents. So we can't move forward together if we're not working together. And so if we can figure out how to make that type of politics work here in Wisconsin, I think that's just going to ripple across the country. So I'm really putting my head down now in Wisconsin, working with local groups, partnering with a number of organizations, working with our lawmakers here on both sides of the aisle, and trying to change the narrative, but also change the methodology of how we do business here in the state. In many ways, I see our national politics starting to infect our state and local politics, but in many ways, those most extreme voices are crowding out the reasonable voices that we have here in the state and that we have here locally. And I think our job is to try and elevate those voices as much as possible and do something that's central to Millennial Action Project, and that's modeling the leadership that we want to see. Every day we can try and be, you know, a role model for bridge building and change. And I think that's a uniquely American tradition to approach things with that approach. That's what our, you know, our founding fathers imagined, that America would eventually become a large and diverse country, probably more diverse than they ever imagined. And these types of principles of bridge building are essential for that vision to come to life.
Doesn't the pandemic and the way so many levels of our leadership are not handling it together just make you want to throw up your hands?
Yeah, well, I think I remember in the first days of the pandemic, I brought my team together and I remember mentioning that this pandemic is going to expose some deep-seated problems in our country. And we see how it's exposed the racial and socioeconomic divide, but also the political divide as well. When leaders can't work together to solve a public health crisis that affects all human beings, it shows that we're incapable right now of solving big problems. And I think the experience we've had in Wisconsin is a really good example of that, where there's so many problems that have gotten worse simply because of political partisanship. And those are self-inflicted wounds. These are preventable things. And that's why people often say, like, oh, like, you know, bridge building and love and empathy, like, these are very cute concepts. It's like, no, this is life or death stuff, and it's hard. One of my mentors has this great line. He says, bridge building is not rocket science. It's much harder. And I think the pandemic has showed just how hard it is. And it also shows that this new politics we speak of can't just be switched on like a light switch. Because when a pandemic hits, you can't start building bipartisan relationships from scratch, because if you've already been engaged in a slash and burn style of politics, now you can't just turn around and say, hey, can you work with me on this? You know, so it really requires years and years of building up. And so, yeah, when I look at what's happened here in Wisconsin and what's happened nationally, it's yet another sign that this rampant partisanship is deadly for our country. When you look at the election debacle we had back in April here in Wisconsin, and the back and forth of whether or not we are going to have an election, are we mailing out ballots, and the court cases, I mean, that was just a complete breakdown of our political system, where even the night before, voters didn't even know, are we voting tomorrow? And then it led to an unprepared election and people lining up in lines. And that's where, again, it was clear that this polarization is leading to deadly consequences, and we need to, you know, see it in that light. So, yeah, I hope the pandemic is just kind of a wake-up call for people, and the turbulence we're going to see in our country after this election is likely another wake-up call for our country, because these trends are just unsustainable. And the thing, I guess one thing that gives me hope is, you know, Dr. King would sometimes say that the stars shine brightest in the dark of night. And so sometimes when things get really bad, you have the possibility of new structures, new ways of doing things, new leaders emerging. And I'm placing my bets on that.
Stephen Olakara is a Brookfield native who founded the Millennial Action Project. He spoke with WUWM's Susan Bentz. Olakara is featured in the film The Reunited States as part of the Milwaukee Film Festival, and he'll be part of a virtual panel discussion about the film this evening. You can find more information at WUWM.com.